Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Some years ago, Benny Hinn brought his healing crusade to Denver, Colorado, and they were in the Denver Coliseum. And it was a great tragedy because many people were misled and told that they would be healed. And the claim was even made that a young girl was healed, a girl born blind was healed that week. We were outside of the Coliseum with huge signs that you could read from blocks away that read Miracles for Sale. We had to have a dozen signs around the Coliseum at all the entrances, Miracles for Sale, passing out literature. And when Benny Hinn got back on TV on Monday the next week, he cursed us on national TV. We then went on to have the best week we had ever had, I think, in ministry. So let's go to the phones now in Texas, where there is the Trinity Foundation. This is the mothership of investigation and televangelist fraud. Ole Anthony. Ole, welcome to Bob Inyart Live.
Thank you, Bob. Good to be here.
Well, it's great to have you on our program. Ole, we've been airing. We started on America's most powerful Christian radio station 20 years ago, 5 days a week. You and I have never talked, but we do something similar to what you do. We do try to expose fraudulent televangelists. They're not all frauds, but many are.
Yeah, I was thinking, as you said, he cursed you. I've been cursed so many times on national television that I've forgotten how many.
Yeah. And usually, if anything, it's good for your health. So it's obviously ineffective. I'm a bit different from you in that I have been on Christian radio and TV daily for 20 years with a call-in talk show format. And
yeah, I did the same. I had, for the first 5 or 6 years that I was a believer back in the 70s, I hosted radio and television talk shows.
Oh, now I did not realize that. So was that?
I met all these guys, you know, the older ones, and I was disgusted with what I saw back then, and it's got 1,000 times worse.
The older guys? Do you mean like Peter Popoff, for example?
Oh yeah, Popoff, and well, I interviewed Billy Graham. That was a pleasure, but I met all the Earl Robertses and Robert Tiltons and all those guys.
Right. Peter Popoff was in the news recently. You guys have reported on that. He's attempted to make a comeback, and he was exposed on national TV as a fraud. Can you recount that story for us?
Yeah, the guy that's called Amazing Randy, he exposed him because he showed that he was getting his words of knowledge about people in the audience from his staff having free interviewed him while they were in the waiting room.
Right.
His wife was just giving him that information over an earphone.
Yeah, so she was using...
And it was
they were
exposed
using,
on Johnny Carson's show.
So they were, yeah, so they were using just a wireless transmitter into an earpiece.
And, right, and but what he's doing exactly the same thing. He's still doing it.
And there is a phenomenon that we've noticed that even though the claims that are made are verifiably false. They're
right.
Simply false. There was no blind girl born here in the Denver area who was healed by Benny Hinn during his healing extravaganza. We were on my radio show. I wasn't available that day. My producer, Doug McBurney, went on Colorado's Rush Limbaugh KOA affiliate with a staffer from Benny Hinn. And we accuse them of fraud. And this is obviously a lie, a deception to get desperate people to give tremendous amounts of money because they're dying of cancer, terrible diseases. They got grandkids who are ill, parents, wives, and they desperately want to believe the lie that if they show their faith by digging deep and giving a lot of money to Benny Hinn and these other healers, that their loved ones will be cured.
Right.
And this is all a fraud. And so I've got a question for you, Ole. Why do you think with the congressional investigation we had that concluded earlier this year, why do you think while real estate frauds get investigated and even prosecuted at times, why do you think it doesn't happen with televangelists?
Well, it does. We've put a couple of them in jail through investigations. But most of the time, first of all, in order to for the IRS or FBI to instigate a, especially the IRS, in order for them to instigate an investigation against any religious figure, they need to have it signed off by three top executives of the Treasury Department. And most of the, you know, the agents don't want to go through all that because it's a real mess to get the approval. The second reason is that it's been our experience that the U.S. attorneys around the country and the attorneys general and even district attorneys, they don't like to prosecute religious fraud. And the reason is that it just takes one vote on the jury of someone that has been under their spell, if you will, and the case gets thrown out. So they waste hours and hours and days and months of investigation.
Well, that's also true, though, of course, of so many, increasingly, a significant percentage of high-profile criminal cases, O.J. Simpson to Casey Anthony. It seems to me that there's other motives also. But you're thinking primarily it's because it's just not worth it, it doesn't work, which would say that our system is not designed well.
Oh, there's no question. We have a letter in our possession that the head of the IRS wrote to Senator Grassley when we started all this back in 2005 that says that the IRS is simply does not equipped to investigate whether an organization is really a church or to investigate religious fraud. Hmm. I've been sued, as you probably can guess, about almost as many years as I am old almost, but we even had one attorney for one of these evangelists stand up in federal court and say the following. He said, the right to believe in this country what you want to believe is absolute, and we even have the right to defraud people with that belief. Now, can you imagine an attorney of law saying that?
Yeah. Our criminal justice system, it's no longer a justice system. Now it's just a system. We said that when we purchased, my audience and I, we took a collection. We purchased O.J. Simpson's memorabilia at auction out in Hollywood, and we burned it all on the steps of the L.A. courthouse the next day at high noon. And we were calling for a complete revamp of our criminal justice system because it is a failure. This kind of fraud, the city and county of Denver renting to someone, you know, a major city complex, a facility, knowing that he is going to lie and claim that he raises people from the dead and heals lepers and young girls born blind could now see. When these things are false, when people are said to be healed, and then 3 weeks later they die of the disease, they're condemned and said, well, you didn't have enough faith and the disease came back on you.
Oh, I know. We have thousands of cases like that in our, we have a victim's hotline that people who feel they or their loved ones have been victimized by these guys, and there's thousands of cases like that.
Ole, it's not only the high-profile televangelist. Then there's a subculture, and there's an industry of churches, pastors, they get on radio or TV locally, and they'll say things like this. When people are sick and hurting, this is when they need comfort and encouragement to be built up, to be edified. And instead, because of this widespread fraud in the Christian community, they are condemned. People whisper about them. They must have unconfessed sin. They don't have faith. They're not giving to the ministry. And that's why God is punishing them with this leukemia or MS or whatever.
Can I tell you a quick story?
Sure.
This is why I got into this. We did a kind of a funny piece on Robert Tilton for CNBC back in the 80s, 87, I think. And it was just a kind of tongue-in-cheek kind of look at this idiot, and I got a call from a woman who's had a daughter that was 13 years old that had multiple sclerosis. And she saw on Tilton's program a woman that was healed of multiple sclerosis for a $1,000 vow of faith. Well, this young girl paid the $1,000 over the course of a year, mostly from her grandmother, unbeknownst to her mother. And not only was she wasn't healed, she was far worse because of the multiple sclerosis. Mm. And it was a teenage girl now, 14 years old, with all the self-image problems. And she called the ministry and said, why am I not healed? I did exactly what the man of God told me to do. And the so-called prayer minister said, it's because you have secret sin in your life. And she went out in the backyard and committed suicide.
Oh.
This woman calling me and just crying her eyes out, begging me to do something, is how we got into the investigations.
Well, Ole, thank you for doing that. And that is an extreme example of a horror that occurs repeatedly. It's a fundamental lie. These televangelists, these healers, from my firsthand experience over a number of years hosting a daily Christian talk show in this type of environment on Christian television, right now we're talking on radio, they couldn't heal a liver spot or an ingrown toenail if their life and ministry depended on it. They cannot heal anything. They never have.
Of course not. I used to think, I became a Christian rather late in life, and as a new believer, I still couldn't believe anybody would give any money to these guys. I thought that they deserved whatever, anybody that was dumb enough to give money to them deserved what they got.
Yeah.
Until I met the victims. Mm. And the victims, there's 2,500 radio and television evangelists in America, approximately.
Hey, wait a minute. I'm one of them.
There's an audience of about 5 million to 6 million people. 60% of that audience are the ones that give to them. Mm. Are elderly women.
Yeah, that's completely true. Lonely elderly women who, for example, they've lost their husbands. They might have a daughter or a son who's sick and dying. They themselves might be ill. And so they're lonely. They develop this codependent relationship with the TV evangelist who sort of romances them over the airwaves. And then they give sometimes their life savings.
Amen.
Sometimes.
Yeah, and they even now have prayer ministers. They have their mailing list now divided into at least four categories, each one of them. The big donors, ones that give $50,000 a year and more, sometimes less than that. But they have these call centers that they hire minimum wage employees that read a script. And so this woman, lonely woman, gets a call from a person that says he's Benny Hinn's executive assistant.
Mm, right, sure.
And Benny asked him to call her to make sure everything was all right, if she needed anything or could they pray for anything. Now, this is a script they have to read, and
right.
We've got those scripts.
Yeah, it's a minimum wage hireling.
They're not even believers.
Right, and they might get a commission, maybe, based on what they take
in. I don't know about the commission. But I know we've got the scripts. There's a call center like this in Southern California. There's another one in Akron, Ohio. There's one here in Dallas. They're just a travesty.
Yeah. We when Benny Hinn came to town, since I also pastor a church, Denver Bible Church, they called months in advance and said, would your church like to be involved in Benny's crusade and all? And so we
that
said,
that was a mistake.
Well, so we said, we sure would. What could we do? They said, well, you could hand out flyers. How many flyers do you think you could hand out? And we said, thousands. How many could you send us? 5,000? So they sent us boxes of flyers, and Ole, it was perfect. The back of the flyer was blank. The front of the flyer, a glossy flyer, Benny Hinn on the cover, his jacket was brilliant white, shining brilliant white. And on the jacket, we sent these through our printer, and on the front of the jacket, we wrote, see back for miracle info. And on the back was an expose of the fraud of selling miracles. And we brought those to the event, and we had a couple dozen young people handing them out to everyone who went, and not everyone, but we had thousands handed out.
That's great.
Yeah. So we do what we can. You know, this isn't our main topic, our main issue. Our main issue is telling people, showing people the evidence that there is a God and he loves us and sent his son Jesus Christ for us. And then we fight to protect the unborn. We urge people to raise their children with a Christian education. But this issue comes up on occasion, and people who've contacted us who have been defrauded by these ministries, and there's basically no recourse. It seems to us that the city and county of Denver doesn't mind this kind of fraud in their facilities. I think there's an ulterior motive to some of that nonchalance. And it's that a lot of our government infrastructure doesn't really like strong Bible-based Christian faith. And so having the Benny Hinns and Mike Murdochs of the world on the airwaves is a way of discrediting the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And so I don't think that's true.
It seems to be true here.
It might be there, but I mean, as most of these the government employees, they're just not interested.
Yeah, but
they don't take the time to investigate.
Yeah,
they
think
some
that
of the city charters would cause that to be they couldn't do it. In fact,
Ole, you might think that's the end of the story. Just that it's not worth it, it's too hard. But if this was some other kind of fraud being perpetrated on the people of your city in a facility rented from the city, I think you'd have public officials speaking out and warning people at the very least. But we don't. For the most part,
I agree totally.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying to you is that's the only way it's going to be stopped. We work with the FBI often on different investigations because some of these ministries are money laundering. An FBI agent told me many years ago, he said, the only way that this is going to be put a stop to is by a civil RICO suit, where there's treble damages and you end up...
a class action RICO suit.
You would get the bank, the data processing company, the evangelist, the attorney, the auditor, all that whole, what I call the wheel of fortune, and all of them would be subject to the fraud. Now, what you're talking about for the city... somebody should file a lawsuit on that basis within the city of Denver.
Well, we have some attorneys listening to the show right now, and if any are willing, next time the word is out that any of these big, well-known, fraudulent televangelists are coming to town, boy, we'd like to join in such a lawsuit.
That's a great idea, and if that happens, I'll help you. We've got tons of information that can prove all that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've got some. You know, let me know, and we'd be glad to help you.
Well, thank you. Ollie, how about the number of ministries where, and this is another dirty side of this, that are involved in sexual immorality and blatant hypocrisy with what they preach? A number have been brought down because of that. Many others, there are rumors that are so well established, I don't think we should even call them rumors.
Well, there's one big one where a party to it is in your area, the Daystar Television Network. It's the second large Daystar.
Marcus Lamb?
Right.
They have a station here, right, in Arvada, Colorado.
But here's the deal. He had an affair with an employee who is now, he bought her a house there in Denver and paid her $640,000 to keep her mouth shut, and nobody's doing anything about it.
Well, that might be why the Denver staff at the Daystar television station was laid off, the entire staff, about six months ago.
That's probably true, because they all knew about it.
Wow. And so, but it's not just Marcus Lamb, it's...
we got...
Mike Murdoch. I interviewed Trey Smith, who wrote the book Thieves.
Oh, I know. I know more about Mike Murdoch than he knows about himself.
And in fact, D Magazine, right in Dallas, the big glossy. They just excerpted part of the book Thieves. There's an account by a young man who grew up best friends with Mike Murdoch's son, and was in and out of Mike Murdoch's home on and off for years, including staying there at times, and Mike Murdoch's son living with Trey Smith at his home. And so the accounts of piles and piles of pornography and sex with women that are basically collected through the ministry. It seems.
He has one of our informants is an ex. He was engaged to her, and she worked for the ministry. He had a little black book with 1,300 names in it that he had telephone sex with, and we sent an informant into the ministry. It was a girl from England that was working with us, and he tried that on her. There's more evil at the top of these ministries than anyone could ever imagine.
Yeah, out of control. And when you get away with it, and you get away with it on TV, and they give their innuendo, you know, on TV, the pastor of the New Life Church in Colorado Springs who was caught with a homosexual prostitute, his name escapes me for the moment, but there was a documentary, and they interviewed him. This is months in advance. And he said, "You think I'm doing anything wrong? Just follow me on the weekends. Follow me Friday night." He's joking.
Well, they think they're special. And once that happens, then whatever, just like they say, whatever they say God is telling them. And the second thing they do is whatever they do, God's imprimatur is on it. So it's just a sick system with no accountability.
Yeah, we have Ole Anthony, who's the president of the Trinity Foundation. And you guys are not far from Mike Murdoch, right?
Yeah, he's up near Denton now. He's about 35 miles.
Oh, by the way, Ted Haggard, that's right. That was
Ted Haggard.
Ted Haggard. And mocking, really, not only the producers of this documentary, but everybody watching, saying, "You think I'm doing anything wrong? Just follow me. Follow me." And
I know.
And nobody had to follow him because the homosexual prostitute he was visiting and doing drugs with just ended up talking to Peter Boyles, a Denver radio talk show host. So we only have a few more minutes, Ole Anthony, with the Trinity Foundation. But I want to let you know, on our website, KGOV.com, we have an article on miracles. And what a lot of these ministries never acknowledge is that through the entire Bible, there are over 300 episodes of miracles that are reported. Almost every time, the result is that people, their hearts get hardened. Miracles foster unbelief. If they have any kind of influence whatsoever in the spiritual life of a nation, the more miracles Jesus did, the more the people hated him. The more Moses did, the more the people hated him. The more they turn against God. And so the whole argument from beginning to end, it's all a scam. That if you have enough faith, God is a magician. He'll do magic tricks for you and send us money to prove your faith.
Yeah, it's just pure evil.
Yeah. So, all right. Anything else, Ole? Anything happening right now that you guys are working on? Anything to look forward to?
Well, I'm speaking at the National Religious Newswriters Association in September, and it's going to be about how the Finance Committee punted instead of doing anything when they had the chance. Mm. We worked with them for 5 years. We sent humongous reports on 38 ministries that were breaking every aspect of the tax laws and everything else. And then they just punted. They said, "Well, we're going to give it to the, we're going to let the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability be the main." Well, that's like asking the Girl Scouts to audit Enron.
Right. Exactly.
But anyhow, so yeah. That's what I'm going to.
Yeah, they have no authority whatsoever to get any of these guys to turn over their books. And so, yeah, that's an example of what we see. We're frustrated that we think, while there's some, of course, in government who would want this stopped, we think there are a lot who don't, because the net effect is it brings shame to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are a lot of people in government who really are not too thrilled with Bible-believing Christians. And so why help clean up the church? What's the benefit? Anyway, yeah. Maybe we're too conspiratorial, but that seems to be part of the lack of interest in doing anything.
I know all these guys. I don't think that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think that's a little conspiracy theory.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, Ole, and you very well may be
like
right.
It's like the media. I know most of the people in the media, and they're not anti-Christian. They're just anti-idiots.
Well, I don't know about that. Ole, I'd say I've been interviewed at least 200-300 times with Bill Maher, half a dozen times, BBC.
Oh, don't tell me Bill Maher. I mean, he's not even, I'm talking about real journalists.
Yeah, but the gospel of Jesus Christ and Christian morality and the life of an unborn child, I mean, the media is hostile
that's what
to...
I talk about many times with some of the national news organizations.
Yeah, but they're hostile to all these things. If
no,
you say
not.
Jesus is the only way to heaven, they'll say that you're a bigot.
Let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what happened.
Yeah.
With Diane Sawyer. Can I tell you a quick story?
It's yeah.
Real quick. We did a 6-month undercover investigation for them. And she had the whole long investigation. And then she had me come up there to give the last few minutes of the program as an end. She asked me what I would say to God. I mean, what would I say to the people who had been turned away from God by the annex of these men? And I knew something intuitively. I said, Diane, that's not what you're asking. You're asking, what would God say to you?
Wow.
Here's what he would say to you. O stubborn, rebellious child, has my love no longer the power to melt your heart? Have you been driven away by those who claim to know me but were filled with hypocrisy and greed and drunk with the stench of a death faith? Let the dead bury the dead. Let ignorance reproduce itself until its worry puts on offspring. This is between you and me. You can no longer resist my spirit without suffering pain. Come back. All is forgiven.
Wow.
And she was sitting there bawling.
Oh, my.
They didn't show that on television, but that's...
Wow. Holy, thank you for that. And thank you for that witness to her. Hey, appreciate you and what you do.
God bless you.
All right. Appreciate that,
Goodbye.
Too. God bless you, Holy. All right. That's Holy Anthony with the Trinity Foundation. And it was an honor to have him on the show. This is, for some people, this is a difficult topic. Not for us here at Bob and Yurt Live. It's so crucial that people know the truth and that they're not deceived. And then when they send money to frauds, often sexually immorally addicted frauds, they make them multimillionaires and they're robbing money from their family, their children, their wives, their husbands, and from True Ministry, where God is honored. Hey, God bless you.